This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time 1205. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. I'm Jim Goodis.
And good afternoon. I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got mostly sunny skies today, a high of 87 in the 70s at the lakefront. Right now, it's 83 degrees at O'Hare and 76 at the lake.
Another positive day on Wall Street. Let's get the latest on the numbers live from Bloomberg and Joan Doniger.
That's right, Jim. It is a nice day for the Dow, and while the broader market gains don't look particularly significant, there are highlights. The Dow right now up 138 points. The NASDAQ and S&P are both gaining 8. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is down, though, almost 0.2%. Donnelly shares are leading the losses, falling 3%. Now, on Wall Street, the S&P 500 has hit a four-month high. Energy companies got a lift from stronger oil prices. They're up a few pennies, trading at $73.89 a barrel, and that helped the Dow, too. Pepsi is helping stoke anticipation for this earnings season, showing better than predicted profits. Even though soda sales fell, Frito-Lay carried Pepsi over the finish line. Hugh Johnson of Hugh Johnson Advisors says that is just whetting investors' appetites.
Expectation is clear. The expectation is that this is going to be a very impressive and a very strong earnings season.
He says it's enough to turn investors' attention away from trade for now. Back to you, Jim and Chris.
Thank you. On today's Noon Business Hour, small businesses are facing tight job markets, and Walmart is entering same-day grocery service business. That's getting very competitive.
We're going to take a broader look at Wall Street and specifically at Twitter. If you travel, not so much. Some tips to help you get through the airport a little bit easier. And we'll take a good long look at banks and how they're doing in this market. All that ahead on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Today on the Noon Business Hour, Walmart's testing same-day grocery delivery. That is coming up in our next segment. Right now, it's corporate earnings season. Markets are reacting. Let's talk with Brian Battle, Director of Trading at Performance Trust Capital Partners here in Chicago. Brian, markets have been doing well to start off this week, at least. What is the business world anticipating about the earnings?
Yeah, Chris, it's a great week for the market so far, and it's all about the things that have happened and the things that have not happened. Last week, we had a great unemployment report, which, curiously enough, the unemployment rate went up, but that's because so many people came off the sidelines and started looking for work, so that was a good jobs number. What didn't happen is that the tariff and trade war escalated. So we've had 4 days in a row of the S&P trading up here. And it's really more jobs numbers and more news about jobs, and the economy seems to be getting better. Earnings week is a fantastic time of year for the market. Every quarter we get businesses and people that run businesses telling us what they think about the prospect for business investment and hiring instead of having to rely on economic statistics. So it's a great time to get real information and get a real measurement of how the economy is really doing.
Well, let's talk about one of the themes in the economy right now. More than a third of small businesses cannot fill open jobs. What's going on here?
That's amazing. Yeah, there's a survey called the NFIB. It's a National Federation of Independent Businesses, and every month they have a number, and they release it. And they said that number, it was at 36%, so a third of small businesses can't find the people they want. And it's in the construction, manufacturing, financial services industry. So to put that in context, the number is 107 for June. The 45-year average is 98, and the all-time high is 108 in 1983. So there are businesses are having trouble hiring. Another number that came out, it's called the JOLTS survey, and what that shows is that people are quitting their jobs. 2.4% of the employees, 17-year high, people are quitting. So that, why would people do that? Because they have confidence that they can find another job. So this is people behaving in a way that shows them that they're confident that they can find work, and they're finding they're confident they can find a better job than the one they have now. So that's a real signal that the economy is starting to feel better.
So the underside is that all of this will happen with all the expectations. People say, "I'm going to quit because I've got another job." That's going to be happening.
That's right. And so the implication there is that people can quit. And if there's, so the theme here is if people are quitting and they're finding jobs and businesses can't hire, wages should increase. So that's something that we're waiting to see. Wages have been lagging. There really hasn't been a squeeze on wages where employers have to pay up to hire people. That's something the Federal Reserve is very interested in. All the economists are interested in to see if it's causing wage inflation. It might take a little longer than it has historically because there are so many people on the sidelines that as they come in, you know, the pool of people looking for work gets bigger. So there's not pressure on wages, but we might be getting to that point where businesses are going to have to start paying them to get and retain, especially to get and retain their employees.
Brian, as the president heads to Europe, granted it's a NATO meeting, but of course we're talking with several of our key trading partners, and as the North Korea situation continues, and of course that involves China, our really big trading partner, what are traders looking at as the president engages in foreign policy this week?
I think what's kept the market from a rip-roaring high, because these economic numbers are good, the jobs numbers are good, you know, businesses will start reporting this week, is not that we have a good trade policy or a bad trade policy, is that we don't know what exactly our trade policy is. So the president threatens to leave NAFTA, we left the TPP, hey, maybe we're going to leave NATO, and then, you know, a couple hours later, somebody else says something different. So I think we're cautiously optimistic that this will go away, because trade and tariff policies between countries is just bad for global growth. It's a tax on production. So if that, and I think everyone is optimistic that that won't happen or won't happen to a broad degree, because everyone is just so familiar, just Econ 101 is just bad for everyone. So I think we're waiting to see where this finally settles down. And this weekend was a good news that we didn't have an escalation on Friday and Monday and yesterday. So I think that's why we're getting a rally in the markets, that these trade policies would be better. The NATO meeting is a meeting of friends, typically, but this is an atypical president and a non-traditional, non-political president, so we're really not quite sure what he's going to say, but I think we're hopeful that it won't be detrimental to global growth.
Brian Battle, the Director of Trading at Performance Trust Capital Partners here in Chicago. Always great to have you on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Coming up, Walmart fights for online grocery shoppers.
A wealth of information for managing your money. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Walmart digs deeper into the online grocery market, testing same-day delivery. And we're talking to Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com, based in Los Angeles. So, yet again, Walmart getting into the food business, and now you can literally have them deliver you groceries same day, at least in some test markets to begin.
Absolutely. And keep in mind that Walmart is the number one food retailer in the U.S. And frankly, with their purchase of Jet.com a couple of years ago, they've really fast-tracked what food delivery should be. So Walmart prepared foods, Walmart meal kits, they're all available on Jet.com. And in New York City, they're actually doing two-hour delivery. And I think that when we take a look at the whole delivery landscape, the ones to watch are Walmart, Jet, and Amazon Whole Foods, because they're going to change everything for us. And we as consumers, we're just going to win.
Phil, is this going to be something where there's really going to be one big winner at the end of this? Or is this some market that, in fact, could take a couple of big players? Could Amazon and Walmart survive in the same space?
That's a great question. And yes, I think that they could both survive, because looking at the orders that both have, you look at Amazon and people really pick and choose what they buy grocery-wise on Amazon. They might get a case of energy bars, for example. But on Walmart Jet, they're buying their full shop. They're buying produce. They're buying meats. They're buying groceries. So even though Amazon right now is bigger, Walmart Jet has a much bigger opportunity to supply everything that we want every day.
What about smaller supermarkets? Are they going to be really tested here?
Chris, yes. you hit right on the nail on the head. The smaller supermarkets are struggling. They're reaching out to Instacart. They're having Instacart or Shipt deliver their groceries. But keep in mind, in my opinion, that's a short-term solution, because there's not enough money in delivery. It's very expensive to be able to have a third party do it. So Instacart right now is looking at other opportunities, what they can do besides just grocery delivery for that supermarket, whether it's metrics that they can supply, whether it's data that they can supply. Because in order for them, even though they've raised $1 billion, to grow and survive, they need to move beyond just grocery delivery.
Any other predictions that you may have about what we may see 5 years from now, 10 years from now, because things are really changing in all markets?
Well, Chris, you know, certainly there's a lot of talk about drone delivery. I think in a place like Chicago, where you've got, you know, skyscrapers and apartments that are 100 floors up, that makes sense because basically you can cut a hole the size of an air conditioner in the side of, you know, an apartment that's 90 floors up. A drone can go in there, deliver it without having to go inside your apartment. I think that'll happen. I don't think the drones are going to happen probably under maybe 50, 60 feet because of FAA regulations. And I think we're also going to see much more automatic replenishment, that our smart refrigerators, that our smart cupboards are going to be able to send a signal to whatever supermarket we want, whether it's Peapod, whether it's Dominic's, whether it's Jewel-Osco, whoever it is, or Jet.com, and say, hey, we're running out of milk, automatically replenish it within 24 hours.
Phil, this is going to be a fascinating battle to watch, and of course, you're going to keep an eye on it for us, and we'll be checking in with you from time to time to see how the battle of the food delivery is going. Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com out of Los Angeles, always great to have you. Still ahead, twinges over Twitter. And on Travel Tuesday, smart ways to save yourself money and hassle. WBBM News Time, 1225. Let's get a live look at the markets. Sponsored by Grandview Homes at Bloomberg. Here's Joan Doniger.
Well, Jim, strong economic data and earnings anticipation are mostly winning out over trade today on Wall Street. The Dow is up 112 points. The NASDAQ has fallen by 2. The S&P is up 6. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is flat to the downside now. Donnelly shares falling 3% to lead losses. The S&P, however, touched its highest level since March in earlier trading, powered by a gain in the energy sector. Strategists say investors cannot wait for earnings season to get here in earnest. Pepsi provided a preview, posting better-than-predicted profits, even with soda sales falling. Still, the rate of decline wasn't as fast last quarter. Its snack business ended up doing the work. Pepsi shares are up 4% right now. One strategist telling Bloomberg earnings overall could be 20% better in the second quarter than they were the same quarter last year. The Me Too movement started after the publication of allegations against Harvey Weinstein has sparked more companies to review their sexual harassment policies. Challenger Gray and Christmas says more than half, 52% of companies say they have done so now. That's up from 34% 6 months ago. About 42% of those companies said they are more comfortable with their policies now. 63% said they were in January. Now let's check in with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities and Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Joan. Grain markets are lower as we head through the noon hour. Spread activity has been the main feature, buying beans, selling corn, buying beans, selling wheat. Forecasters have moisture and cooler temperatures in the forecast for next week. And the next market maker will be Thursday's monthly supply-demand report, with the trade looking for slightly higher carryout estimates. Corn futures, 8 to 9 cents lower. Beans, 3 to 4 cents lower. And the wheat market down 16 to 18 cents. This is Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Kurt. The Dow up 117 points with business at 25 and 55. Live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 1230. Welcome back to the WBBM Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. I'm Jim Gutis.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Another update on Wall Street. We look deeper coming up on the Noon Business Hour.
And we have some tips for the summer travel season.
How banks are doing as earnings season unrolls.
And in Thailand, the cave rescue ends. All 12 boys, their coach, and rescuers all out.
And the fight continues to keep abortion legal in Illinois.
On Wall Street, the Dow Industrial is up about 116 points, the NASDAQ down 3, and the S&P 500 up by almost 6.
The WBBM AccuWeather forecast, mostly sunny this afternoon. We have a high of 87, but it'll stay in the 70s by the lake. Right now, it's 83 in Chicago as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues. WBBM News Time, 1231.
And let's take a check of the markets with Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director of Heartland & Company in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Jim. We're going to be hearing from companies for updating their the economy and also how they are doing at this point in this year. What's your feeling about the markets right now?
Well, my feeling is that the markets are assuming that earnings are going to be good, that the Fed is not going to surprise us, that commodity prices, the rise will be gradual, that labor prices, the rise will be gradual. And that therefore, unless you get a negative surprise on the tariff front, on the trade war front, that the line of least resistance for the moment is guardedly upward. But the most important thing is what companies say about forward-looking guidance for the third and fourth quarter. We know that second quarter earnings are going to be good. It's anticipated. It's priced into stocks. But whether stocks can make further progress depends on what companies say as they report earnings about what they see in terms of business. Is the trade issue affecting decisions? Are there supply chain dislocations starting to occur because of the tariffs and the trade negotiations? Does that mean that business activity is going to slow in the third or fourth quarter, or are we just going to power through because the U.S. economy has so much steam as we speak right now? So that's what you want to look at, is the forward guidance.
So what should investors do with this? What's your recommendation?
Well, I think we basically still have a set of dynamics that are positive through this year and the first half of next year. I think the second half of next year gets much more cloudy as financial conditions continue to tighten with increasing interest rates around the world, as you get margin pressure from rising labor and commodity costs, as you get tougher earnings comparisons because 2018 is going to be so strong. So I would say to investors, stay the course this year, and then we will have had such a run from the bottom 10 years ago that probably towards the end of the year you want to rebalance your asset allocation, because you're probably over-allocated in equities relative to your model because of the price performance of equities. And so you can take a little bit of profits towards the end of the year. But right now I think we should be okay.
Jim, there are obviously some sectors that are more powerful in driving the markets right now. And the question is, how tariff-proof or tariff-dependent are these sectors? And is that something that might help you steer your decisions as you're looking at what to invest in coming up?
Yeah, well, you do know that the powerful unit growth companies may take a little bit of a shoulder blow from tariffs, but that what they're doing is so fundamentally important in changing the world that they will adapt and continue to grow. And when you're in the late cycle, It doesn't pay to buy, you know, more cyclical stocks, even if they're domestic, because this is going to be a peak earnings. So I would say you stick with growth companies, which takes you necessarily to technology, social media, the sectors of the economy that are changing the way we live. But because many of them are highly priced, you buy them on inevitable corrections in the market, which you will get as we get occasional landmines from Washington and negotiations overseas. So this is a market that wants growth, that's going to stick with growth, that's going to pay a premium for growth. And I think you just have to swallow hard, stick with growth, buy growth, but buy it on periods of weakness, not into ebullience.
Jim, we recently heard from both Ben Bernanke and Alan Greenspan, former Fed chairs. Both were worried about the economy and a recession next year.
I think not next year. I think, you know, we've got enough momentum. I think inevitably you will have a recession, and most of the people I talk to think it's probably a 2020 event, which means that the markets will start to anticipate it in the second half of 19. So, you know, it's out there. We are in the eighth inning, to use the baseball analogy, of this wonderful run. But it's the eighth inning, not game over.
Hey, Jim, what about Twitter? Are they doing enough to, for instance, shed fake accounts and other things like that. And how's the market feeling about what Twitter's been up to of late?
Yeah, well, I think when you look at Twitter, look at the fundamental growth rate and not be bothered by temporary issues. If you do have a fundamental growth story, the company will find a way to deal with these ancillary issues. If people want the product, they're going to use the product. And it's a serious issue, but I think they and the society will find a way to deal with it and use that. But without making a comment on the price of the stock today, but on the fundamentals, you have to say if Twitter is a growth company, if you believe it's a growth company, I would not let this issue shake me out of it.
All right. That's Jim Awand, who's the Senior Managing Director of Heartland & Company in New York. Always great to get your perspective on what's happening on the markets, and it's always one that is changing because things are just that volatile these days on Wall Street. Coming up on Travel Tuesday, travel tips that you'll want to know. Take my word for it.
Discussing your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
When it comes to airline travel, there are some folks who are total travel ninjas. And let's talk with one of them, Ann McDermott, editor at FairCompare.com, based in Los Angeles. So, Ann, you've got some tips to help make the summer travel season a little easier on folks.
I do. And I work with a lot of talented people who love to travel, and they share what they love to do. So let me just throw out a few, and feel free to. When you're going through security, first of all, get PreCheck. It's $85. It's for 5 years. It is so worth it. It is so fast. If you don't check, go to the airport in the summertime, half an hour to an hour earlier than normal. When you do go through, take an empty water bottle with you because you can't bring water through, but you'll need it on the plane, particularly if you're flying one of the discount airlines that charges for any kind of drinks these days. See, a lot of airports have water refill stations. Use them. If you're traveling with kids, another good reason to get pre-checked, to go through security, talk to them first from you. So let them know what's going to happen in security so they don't get scared or anything. And also bring some cookies and candies. I am personally not above bribery for good behavior, and I strongly suggest it for everyone else. When you are shopping for your flights in the summertime, anytime, use a tool that pinpoints deals like the best time within a month to fly. Just now, I was looking from Chicago, found Copenhagen. This is the end of August, Copenhagen for 456 round trip. Now, here's something, another tip. Do not turn your nose up at any flight that's not a nonstop. One of these has a short layover going over to Copenhagen. On the return, it's like 9 hours. But, you know, for $450, I don't mind hanging out in an airport, particularly since these days airports are so much fun. They've got stuff in them. I don't have to tell you about Chicago and your big giant skeleton model of the dinosaur and the play area for kids, but lots of airports have that. If you happen to be stuck in Singapore's Changi Airport, do not miss the live butterfly garden.
And it sounds like
more?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you've got quite a bit, but I think the thing here is we plan a lot for, you know, getting the best airfare. We plan the trip. We do all of that. It sounds like maybe we don't always do as much planning as we should in just dealing with getting to the airport, getting on the plane, and making air travel as simple as possible.
Here's a quick tip for planning for the things you can't plan for, like delays or cancellations. I always like to use a carry-on bag, even if I'm going for a 10-day trip to Europe. And the reason isn't to save money so much as if there's a problem, if there are delays, and say the gate agent says, okay, run to this gate three terminals away, and we may be able to get you on a flight out of here. I run. I run with my bag. If I had a checked bag, it's not going to make that flight with me.
Also, you're taking a picture of your bag, so that's a little bit more safety.
It's a very good idea, because how many of us, you know, if the bag gets lost or goes missing, you have to fill out a form and it says, describe the bag, and we all go blank and we all say, well, it's a black bag. You know, if you've got a picture, then it will show you the brand and other details that will be very helpful in finding it.
In fact, Ann, it's probably a good idea to get a very distinct bag. That's what my wife does. She gets a bag that there's no doubt when it comes off on the carousel that it's ours.
I have seen people lugging around bags with their pictures on it. I don't know where they get those, but they make me laugh. But the second thing I think is they're not gonna lose those. They're gonna get those bags back for sure.
And thanks for sharing your observations with us. Very many good points there. Anne McDermott, editor of FairCompare.com in Los Angeles. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. And still to come, banks. Could there still be a rally?
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
So far, this has not been a big year for the underperforming bank sector, but that could change soon. Let's discuss with Dick Beauvais, chief strategist at Hilton Capital Management in New York. Dick, thanks for joining us here on the Noon Business Hour. We've got fundamentals not coinciding with performance in the bank sector. What's going on here?
Well, I think, Chris, what you're saying is exactly correct. I think it'd be very hard to assume that in the second quarter of 2018, banks will have a poor quarter, because basically their tax rate is going to be substantially lower. Loan volume has increased. Their margins are stable. They're maintaining their costs at fairly low levels, and there's been no increase in loan losses. So when you put all that together, that suggests that the numbers could be reasonably good for the quarter. The problem, therefore, is not with the earnings. It's with, I'm going to say, the management and boards of directors. This desire to pay back 100% of all of the earnings of these companies is perhaps one of the worst possible things a bank can do. Essentially, banks are highly capital-intensive businesses, and they're giving away their capital. So if they're giving away their capital, what are they telling you and me? They're telling us, number one, that they can't use it in today's market, and beyond that, that they're going to lower their secular growth rates because they won't have the capital to grow on in future years. And I think that's what's shaking the stocks.
We're talking about the big banks, not the regionals?
Yeah, in other words, the smaller you get, all right, in terms of bank size, you see a total difference in what's happening. If you go down to, we'll say, a bank like Silicon Valley Bank, which is a $56 billion asset size company, or a whole bunch of banks in that size range, what you find is they're building their capital. They are making a lot of loans. Their loan growth is, you know, very, very strong, and their stock prices have been up all year. So the net effect is that there's been a bifurcation in the industry. The biggest banks' stocks are doing terribly. If you go below a couple of, if you will, steps, the smaller banks are actually doing really well and outperforming the market. So from our perspective, we've been focusing on buying the smaller banks and avoiding the bigger ones.
Oh, so you're not, you wouldn't recommend the bigger, like J.P. Morgan Chase and Bank of America to investors?
Well, I tell you, if they come in with earnings where I expect them to come in with, and if they continue to push out stock, which investors love, even though I think they're harming the bank, and their stock doesn't go up, it'll be a sad, sad day for banking. So, no, I think you should see a recovery in these bank stock prices, you know, when they report their earnings at the end of this week and into next week.
Is there a regional or smaller bank that you really like, Dick?
Well, yeah, there's a whole bunch. I mean, you know, but if you want, focus on the two San Francisco banks, which would be First Republic and Silicon Valley, because, you know, the explosion in wealth in the Silicon Valley area is resulting in much, much higher deposits in these banks, much, much higher loans. Some of them own warrants in the companies that they've been lending money to. So both those companies are very, very, very attractive banks, in my estimation.
Dick Beauvais, the bank's chief strategist at Hilton Capital Management and New York. Always great to get your perspective here on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. And you'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's take a look at the markets with Joan Doniger.
Chris, investors are rolling things back a bit on Wall Street. The Dow is still up at 98 points. The Nasdaq, though, is down 18. The S&P gaining 4. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is down 0.25% now, with Donnelley shares leading losses there. Energy has been helping both the Dow and S&P today. Crude futures are up about a dime to $73.95 a barrel. Boeing is helping the Dow, too. Aircraft orders during the first half of the year were more than double those of Airbus, and Boeing jet deliveries were up nearly 7.5% from the same period a year ago. Boeing lost the race for new orders to Airbus a year ago, and shares are up close to 2%. Best Buy is facing a lawsuit over its zero-interest deals. The suit claims those promotions trick customers into using what is really deferred interest financing because they face heavy retroactive interest charges if the full balance isn't paid by the end of the promotional period. Best Buy wasn't available for immediate comment. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.